There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. Maya Angelou.
Welcome to Her Own Words, a Dear Damsels podcast. We're Abby and Bridie, the team behind Dear Damsels, and this podcast is part of our overall mission to provide a platform for female voices, which is what we've been doing online and in print for the past 3 years. We want to share women's stories in their own words.
Hi, Bridie.
Hey, Abs.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Welcome to our first proper podcast. You started this wonderful episode with a quote from Maya Angelou. Why did you pick this quote, Abby?
So, I believe it is a fact that Maya Angelou is one of the most quoted authors in print kind of ever. I mean, don't actually quote me on that, because I don't know if it's fact, but she's definitely much quoted. She said a lot of wise things, so I thought she was a good place to start. I landed on this quote in particular because it felt so appropriate to what we're setting out to do with Dear Damsels and with the Her Own Words podcast in particular. We want to provide a space for untold stories to be shared. Maya Angelou wasn't talking about women specifically, I don't think, when she said this, but I feel like it's appropriate because, as we know, women's stories have historically been silenced and sidelined. And on this podcast, we want to bring them front and centre. I also like how it can be interpreted in quite like a grand literary way. Like, yeah, we've all got an important story inside
telling
us.
Telling everyone to, you, like, everyone's got a novel inside of you, that sort of thing.
But then I also like that you could interpret it in a really conversational way, like when something ridiculous happens to you, like at work, or you fall over or something, and you just really need to WhatsApp your friends. Like, you must, the agony, you That's must so tell true. Someone it's about like
when
the
something
story.
Happened. Yeah, when something happens to you, you're like, I must tell everyone.
Exactly.
Like, either I tweet it, or I WhatsApp it, or Instagram story. Like, I have to do something to document this thing that happened to me.
Exactly.
Ah, that's so true. I like that you've just, like, related Maya Angelou to, like, desperately WhatsApping your friends.
I felt it was appropriate. Great.
Well, there's been no greater agony than us trying to get this podcast out, really, as well. This is probably our fifth recording, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because, as you may know, me and Abby are very busy running Dear Damsels because we do monthly themes and we have some missions like going up about 3 times a week. We also do the annual, which we'll talk about a bit later, and just generally the upkeep of Dear Damsels means we started this podcast with good intentions. I believe our first one was spent with us talking about the heat wave in July.
No, I think the first one was about the first 3 months of this year. The first 3 months a year, we did like a roundup one, we were like, we're on it, but then we just didn't do anything with it, and then it was out of date, so we decided that, then we did some intermediate one. This one
though is definitely going to happen because we're really excited also to take this opportunity at the end of the year to talk about the final 3 themes that we've got on the website, yeah, but also just generally around Dear Damsels and try and link it back to the stuff that's been happening for us in 2018 and looking forward towards next year, which will be very soon.
Exactly. So to kick things off, we wanted to talk about what we've recently published on Dear Damsels.
Yes.
And to explain a bit how our platform works, if you're not familiar with us, we put out a monthly letter into the world every month, which introduces a new theme. So, for example, we will write to you to say, Dear Damsels, December's theme is together. And anyone can send their responses to that theme, and it can be poetry, it can be short story, it can be personal essay, it can be something that falls in between and you don't really know how to categorise it. And you can send that to us and we publish a selection of those responses to that theme so that we have kind of a month of conversation on a specific theme, all from the perspective of women.
Yeah, which is extremely important, we think.
Yes.
So yeah, so the first theme that we had was comfort. which was in October, and it became, well, we picked this theme obviously because around October it started getting cold and we were all talking about, well, we just want to hunker down, we want to wear soft jumpers, we want to hear pieces about, you know, wrapping up, keeping warm, burrowing in. And that's not what we got. And one of the things on Dear Damsels that me and Abby love is that we'll put out a theme in our mind to have an idea of what we might get back. Mm-hmm. And it's never what we think. And then that means that the theme takes on a whole new way of shaping, which is why sometimes we do have to reject pieces because we're like, it's just not where the theme's going this month, which is always really exciting and makes us as editors like quite excited for what's coming up. But what happened in Comfort, quite surprisingly really, is quite a few of the submissions were about discomfort. We had pieces about putting beds together alone, like struggling with IKEA flatback furniture.
Pushing yourself out of your comfort zone as well. We sort of started the month off with a piece about that and kind of knowing what makes you comfortable and also realizing that actually you haven't felt comfortable for a long time.
Yeah.
But it's not all in a negative way, a real awareness of that.
Yeah, I think one thing that I picked out from months especially was that comfort sort of as a response to change, so like searching for a new comfort. I remember there was that really good piece about I think it was Joe Fisher, which was the discomfort of being by yourself and then sort of accepting that you wanted to be by yourself. It's called, I can't remember what it's called.
It's called The Great Divide.
Damn it, I knew. Thank you so much, Abby. Called The Great Divide. And yeah, I was talking about sort of like the routines and things that you get into by yourself and wondering if you should be searching for something else. But it was a really interesting theme for us. And one piece that really stood out was by Fiona Goggin called My Body Has Housed Two Children. This had a huge response, I think, because it just really spoke about how stuff in your life means your body changes, you know, and like you're told that like you're too big or your body's hurting. She says loads of strong metaphors for her body and what it is now.
It's just so kind of like, I guess the word is like visceral.
Yeah.
In terms of, she kind of lists her aches and pains, like really every day, like, oh, when it rains, like the balls of my feet hurt. And she's her hip aches from carrying her children around. And again, like, it doesn't come across as negative. It's just like so everyday and it's just real and it's so relatable. She just puts it, she says it as it is.
Yeah, there's a quote which I'm going to read, which sort of sums up sort of what Abby's talking about this piece conveying. I house two daughters, and I suppose that in a way, I'll always be home to them. I will always offer them comfort, no matter how uncomfortable that is for me. But this house shell is crumbling. It needs a lot of work. I think a renovation is in order to strengthen the foundations, to oil the creeks. I want this house to be standing for a long time to come. I always want to be the place they come home to.
I think that's really gorgeous. I love the pieces we get on motherhood. It's a sort of different perspective to our own, as we are not mothers, but something I think we can all understand.
It's also like balancing the uncomfortable way that she feels against the knowing that she is the comfort for her children. Mm-hmm. It just took so many ways of the theme and tied it all together.
Yeah, it's kind of realising there are more important things out there than
creaky hips.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a creaky hip. I'm like 25.
Well, that's fine. Look, Fiona says that, you know, the doctors say it's just wear and tear, that's why your hip hurts. And she's like, I'm 36. Like, how's that possible?
Yeah.
So moving on to our next theme, which was for November. November's theme was Pride. And this came out in sort of in many forms. So there was Pride to do with identity. I think Pride is kind of, we understand it with LGBTQ plus communities, but also I think even as we were writing the letter for this theme, we kind of came to understand that Pride is a really slippery thing.
Yeah.
And so there's kind of that juxtaposition of sometimes it's really hard to feel proud of yourself and to like muster that pride. But also, when you are proud of yourself, you kind of feel like it's too much. Like, being prideful is not seen as a positive thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of the idea of you have to swallow your pride. Like, so it's just really interesting, like, what is that balance?
Yeah, it's like, when does it become cocky and is that necessarily a bad thing?
Yeah.
But a lot of the pieces that we had in, actually, again, I think is a really telling sort of how, like, comfort became about discomfort. And pride sort of became about like becoming proud of yourself in the face of adversity, in the face of telling you, or society telling you not to be proud about this thing. So sort of like pride is protest rather than pride is just like a general sense of being okay. It has more of like a purpose. We had like pieces about bodies changing, having a talent that other people don't understand, going to a protest or going to the like pride in London and not really feeling that this is the best way to talk about being a proud person, proud of your sexuality. It was just a really interesting discussion, I think. And again, like, we were like, this wasn't what we thought it was going to be at all. But it's really important to have discussions about that sort of thing, because we live in like such a state of always being told something's good, something's bad, be shameful of this, be shameful of that, you should be acting this way, you shouldn't be acting that way, and sort of accepting the parts of you that you can't change.
And we haven't really discussed this, but I think like pride is probably seen as quite a male thing.
When you said that, I thought of Lion King, like Pride Rock.
So did I.
I was just imagining.
I've been watching David Attenborough.
Watching the Lion King trailer for the new live action film far too many times.
Do you know, I learned from the David Attenborough recent one, The Dynasties, that, well, we all know that like the female lions are the hunters. Mm. But like they just do everything. Yeah. They should be proud of themselves. Anyway.
Yeah, but it's sort of, yeah, that sort of way of taking what people say about you and what people perceive of you and, like, being proud of it or being proud despite the fact that people are tending not to be.
And we got a lot of responses about being proud of your body, which is something we obviously really believe in. And something really interesting that we shared on this topic was a video, which was a video to a song by Dead Gowns. The song is called Sand Plum, and so it's a collaboration. The video itself is a collaboration between Dead Gowns and Folk and Kin Collective, who are based in the US. And it kind of landed in our inbox really unexpectedly as a response to this theme, and we were just really blown away by how beautiful the video was.
Yeah, I think it's worth us mentioning as well that although we are primarily like a writing platform, we've had featured music and music videos before. Mm-hmm. Getting video art is still so interesting for us to see an interpretation to a different perspective and how women are responding to these sorts of themes in their own creative work. Yeah. We thought it was absolutely brilliant. You should definitely watch the video. It's on our website. If you just search Sand Plum, you'll find it.
It basically starts with a woman stripping off by the sea and plunging herself into underneath the waves, and you can just feel it, like the shiver, and it goes from there to show different forms of bodies.
Yeah, and Dead Gowns mentioned that the women are meant to be perceived as being nymphs. But even then, the sort of idea that we were just discussing about pride in the face of adversity, pride in pushing back, Dead Gowns mentioned that we rejected the objectivity of the nymph and celebrated our nymphs as intimate and nuanced. Mm. So the idea of them being flighty, like sexualized beings for men, they were like, no, this is a nymph who is, you know, herself. Mm-hmm. And that is, again, feeding into, from one like very mystical thing to feeding into like lots of the body pieces that we had. And even going back to Fiona Goggin in October, that way of like accepting yourself for who you are, I suppose, and being proud of the fact that you're not someone who you've been perceived to be, I suppose.
Yeah, I think there's a really interesting interplay between comfort and pride. And we did have a piece for pride called Slovenly Love, which is about just like living in a really messy house, but not caring. And so it's kind of, and then there were also the ideas of like being comfortable in your body. I think some people also view that as letting yourself go.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of rejecting that and saying, no, I'm proud of what this is, proud of what I've got. So I think there's just a really interesting juxtaposition again. Wow, I have said juxtaposition twice in this podcast, and I haven't said it since.
You can tell someone works in publishing.
I mean, that's from my A-level essays.
It's a true word, though, isn't it?
It took a long time to understand what juxtaposition is. Sorry. Anyway.
We'll talk about liminality in a second. I'm sure we'll get loads of people. But no, I think that's completely true. And it definitely, again, sort of about the year, about, I know I keep conveying to like wider themes, but talking about body positivity and body acceptance and self-image and just those sorts of things. Like, there's so much more to us than the way we look, and just being okay with that is such an important thing.
I just also wanted to end on one line from the interview we also did with Dead Gowns about the video, where they described the video as a celebration of the sunlight moments only our lovers see.
Oh,
which I thought was really beautiful.
Sunlight moments that only our lovers see. Are you sure Dead Gowns aren't poets? That sounds very poetic. And so that brings us to our final theme of 2018. Which is Together. And we do quite a few themes sort of about this idea of being like, you know, tribe was one from last year, from April, just finding your people, being with close to one another and talking about relationships, because we get a lot of pieces on relationships, which obviously been such an important part of people's lives, mm-hmm. and there's so much within them that is like unpick and interpret in a creative way.
So like friendships as
yeah,
well as,
definitely.
Romantic relationships and community.
Yeah, which is kind of about Dear Damsels, really. I think that's why we like doing these themes, is because we're all about providing a collective and a community for people to connect with one another and to share and find support and that sort of thing. And like having a theme that we can get responses to on that subject, it's always really fantastic. We're really thankful to have a community who likes talking about themselves and their friends in such
definitely.
A nice way. And one of the pieces actually from December's theme that we both love so much,
oh god, so much,
is Rebecca Cooney's 13 Things to Tell a Friend Who Is Hurting.
It's so
nice. It's just, I think it's such, it's a piece that everyone will read and feel like they have been in that moment, like in that place, either as the friend trying to help another or the person who is receiving the help.
Mm.
And there's some really like in really strong imagery, and there's loads of really well-tied themes that come back to it, because it's quite a long poem. It's 13 stanzas long, but it's so beautiful.
It's really wise. It's like, and
it's wide, that's a good
it's
word
so
for it.
Wise. It's so and wise, and it's basically one friend, I mean, it's instructions exactly what it says on the tin, so it's an instructions about 13 things to tell a friend who is hurting, and takes you through, you know, sitting them down for a cup of tea, or actually, yeah, let's have a bottle of wine. And there's a stanza in it about a quote, like, here's something to pin on your wall to remind yourself about how great you are. I feel like I could print this poem out and pin it to my wall to, like,
true.
As a reminder of, you know, when you're in the low times. It really
yeah.
is. It's just, I think when you said support, that's absolutely what it is. It's that support that comes from community and
yeah,
friends, which is so heartwarming. But I will read a quote from number 7 on the list of 13 things to tell a friend who is hurting. So, 7. Know also that no time spent having faith in another person is ever wasted, because faith requires hope, and remembering the taste of hope is what will get you out of bed in the morning when you do not believe in dawn.
I want to bring that out and put that on my mirror.
I know,
just
exactly.
That, remembering the taste of hope is what will get you out of bed in the morning when you don't believe. I just can't. I just think this poem is so lovely, and it's such a nice piece to have on a platform that is for women sharing their experiences and their stories, because it feels like such a female voice, and like, it's just so great.
Mm. And I thought the thing about together as a general theme that was interesting, I don't think we wanted too many pieces that ignored the fact that some people out there don't have a support network and don't, there are times when you feel really alone. At Christmas, you know, in December, we wanted to kind of have something about coming together, you know, sharing meals over a table. And there's like plenty of those pieces too. But there are, we wanted to make sure there was a balance of pieces in there too that were about times when you are alone. But I think the overriding theme throughout the theme of together is hopefulness. There's just a real hope to all of the pieces.
It's quite a nice way to end 2018.
Oh god, it is.
Which
what a lovely way to end
year.
2018.
Yeah. So the next section that we're going to have in the podcast is Dearest Damsels, which is a section for us to talk about things that women within our community or further afield are doing that we find really impressive. But also, this will be a space where maybe we'll have some of our writers come on, do some readings, and we can have a talk about female creativity and writing as a craft. But this week we're talking about a woman who's done something brilliant.
So yeah, today we're going to hear from Molly Masters from Books That Matter, which is a feminist book subscription service, like a monthly subscription box, which is described as to empower and inspire.
Yeah, we love that.
Yeah. So Molly set this up straight out of university, I think. She won a grant, and I believe she was the first woman to ever have won that prize, which I think is amazing. So basically, we're just in awe of her entrepreneurial spirit and her amazing success over this year. We caught up with her way back at the start of the year when we were first doing this podcast. So just before she was about to launch her first box, I think. So here she is telling us about Books That Matter.
Hi everyone, my name's Molly Masters and I am the founder and director of Books That Matter, which is a brand new subscription book service providing empowering and inspiring reads and book and feminist related gifts to women and girls. I have always loved literature. I'm a graduate of English literature and I started the subscription book service whilst I was in my second year of university. I have always been super, super passionate about women's writing. That's what I did my dissertation on, and a lot of my chosen topics at university was focusing on the kind of hidden figures of 18th century writing all the way up to modern day. I've just always been interested in women's place in the canon and also how we can all work together to make sure that the literature written by women is seen and read and acknowledged and loved. And I think that's such an important thing, because books can help us to change the way that we see the world. At the time I was thinking about starting Books That Matter, I saw that at the beginning of Trump's presidency, at his inauguration, the sales of 1984 by George Orwell were through the roof. And it kind of hit home to me about how much my belief in books' ability to change the world is actually something that materializes every day, and maybe something that we take a little bit for granted. The books that we read have a real possibility to impact the way that we see the world, and I think therefore the books that we choose to read or the books that are placed in front of us and the authorship of those books is really important in terms of how we see the world. So Books That Matter is something that I aim to use as a vehicle to help people to understand different ways of life and to change worldviews and to discover new authors. So I'm predominantly focusing on female authorship and also books by trans and non-binary writers, but really pulling focus on authors of colour and of minority background to help provide a platform for that writing and to get people reading those kind of books. Those, to me, are the books that matter, and those are the ones that shape the way that we see the world. In answer to how I went about setting up Books That Matter, as I said, it was a mid-university project. It was something that just couldn't wait. It was kind of taking over my thought process. Every time I was in a lecture, I had a little scrap of notepaper next to me where I'd be jotting down notes about what I want the business to do and where I want to see it go. It started as a bit of a forum idea. I was thinking of creating a forum where women could discuss books, but actually having a subscription box and something that feels like a gift is a way to bring something exciting into somebody's hands and get people excited about literature. And so that makes me super excited as well, because I just love the idea of there being like a little book club. And I've seen a lot of people starting up Books That Matter book clubs, which just makes me giddy with excitement. So I went about it by entering into a startup competition, which was local to Sussex, where I was studying at the university there. I was lucky enough to get into the first round and then the second round, and then I was lucky enough to win the top prize of £10,000 to start my business, which, yeah, that was an amazing moment. And also to be the first woman to win the competition was pretty good as well. So I feel incredibly lucky, although it took a lot of hard work. I feel incredibly lucky to have that Kickstarter, because being from a working class background, starting up a business on my own funds would just have been impossible because, you know, students, debts, all of that. I wouldn't have had any notion of being able to start up this business without the help that I had. So I'm so incredibly grateful for that. I've just launched the first month of boxes, which to this minute of which I am speaking, there are only 9 left. So that was amazing. We sold about 100 in the first day. One point, it was 50 boxes sold in 20 minutes, which was just insane. So the response to the boxes has just been electric. Yesterday we got a lovely feature from Lauren Laverne, who obviously you probably all know from BBC Radio, and I've had some lovely bloggers and other influencers talk about Books That Matter. It was featured in The Independent. The most exciting upcoming thing is seeing how the launch is received, and I hope that people love their boxes. I hope that they love reading the blog posts that are being written by a lovely group of diverse and intersectional bloggers that I feel so lucky to work with. Hopefully we're going to be setting up our own podcast soon, so keep your eyes and ears out for that. And if you haven't already, go and check out Books That Matter. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much to Molly and Books That Matter. Follow them on Instagram at Books That Matter UK, and we definitely think you should check them out.
So what we're going to talk about next is online, offline. So basically what we've seen online and offline, elsewhere in the whole world that we've been really interested in. So basically, what's been going on right now? Well, it's nearly Christmas.
It is nearly Christmas. I was walking to Abby's flat and there was a Christmas tree like being sold on every single corner.
Yeah.
And it's the 1st of December today is the day. And I'm like, guys, really? It's not even that cold. I'm very warm. It's very like 30 degrees.
But it's a bougie street.
It is a bougie street. Yeah, I did walk past like the most amazing dogs. I was like, I know I am in this area because of these fancy dogs.
I mean, what else has been going on? Michelle Obama's memoir is out.
No one got tickets. I was on the website
to the event
20 seconds after because I was like, oh, I need to do it. I was like 6,732nd in the queue. I literally was like, nope, I'm just shy because I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Apparently there was a waiting room. Did you know that? Yeah, you had to get on before 9 a.m.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
I mean, that's insane. There's also actually Gaudem, a platform that we really respect and love. I did a pop-up with the publisher.
Yes.
And my friend went to it because I was busy doing annual stuff, which we'll talk about later. But my friend went to it and said that it was absolutely incredible. It was so nice. And I think like Michelle Obama is just absolutely incredible. And all of us just want to be in her presence. Mm. Like, I can't even imagine her on the South Bank. Like, trying to imagine her at the South Bank centres on those things. It's like when you try and imagine Angelina Jolie brushing her teeth. It's something you just can't quite imagine.
I was also going to say that I'm going to listen to the audiobook. Because I also want to be in her presence.
That's actually a good idea. I listened to, I didn't listen to This Is Life. My friend listened to, I read it, Lily Allen's memoir.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
What did she think?
My Thoughts Exactly by Lily Allen, which is a really incredible book. She listened to the audiobook and she was just like, it's so much different, like hearing someone. I've never listened to an autobiography on audiobook before, but I bet it must feel like you're just sitting down having like a discussion with someone.
I have listened to one. I've listened to Michael McIntyre. And it was a really, I learned a lot. And it's an emotional time. His dad worked really hard. He was in TV. His dad was in TV.
He lives where I grew up, Michael McIntyre.
No way. Yeah. Anyway.
Fun little fact. Well, we're not here to talk about Michael McIntyre because he's a man. No, we actually want to talk about something that I proposed to Abby to discuss because it's making the rounds on Twitter, in like discussions we're having. I had a conversation with my flatmate about it this morning. It's Lena Dunham, who is quite a divisive figure for me and Abby, because since we've had Dear Damsels, she's come up a lot as someone that we like reference or someone we want to bring in to like bring, like when we do our roundups, putting as a piece.
The Lenny letter. I think we're set up around the time that we did.
Shut down now.
Yes. Yeah, but it was set up around the time that I think we started the Sunday roundup.
So when we do the roundups, because if you're not aware, we have a Sunday roundup, which is a 2-weekly mailing where we send out pieces that have been happening on Dear Damsels and also stuff that we've read. It's really nice mailing list that we have going and we really enjoy it. But yeah, Abby was always like, Lenny letter. I'm like, but I want to talk about this because the piece is by Alison P. Davies and it's for The Cut. And it's called Lena Dunham Comes to Terms with Herself. And I just thought, you know, she hasn't been around at all for 2018. When she has popped up, it was for saying like things about like Me Too and things getting kicked off of the platform because Tessa Thompson said that she wasn't actually helping, she just turned up for the photo op. She's writing, I think she's writing a script for a movie about a Syrian refugee, and everyone's like, why are you picking Lena Dunham? And she's just such a divisive figure. I don't like her, and I just don't really enjoy what she puts out. Personally, for me, that's just a personal preference. I know some people say, she's annoying, I love her stuff. I'm like, I don't really like her stuff either. So I'm just like, but what I do respect from her is that she came up as such a figure that she was such a breath of fresh air. Like, she was she was sold to us as young women. This is your voice. This woman gets what you're saying. She came up in a time where everything about being a woman and having a voice, like 2014, 2013, it was like, sell your soul, like put it all out there, put your trauma out there, put your whole life out there. And she was at the forefront of that because Girls was, you know, semi-autobiographical, hard word to say. You know, her first film, Tiny Furniture, had her parents in it as the cast. And this article shows that she just had that way that she was acting in 2013 and 2014, still carrying on to 2018, and it just doesn't sit right anymore, really.
The bearing your soul, putting everything out there,
I don't think it is. I think, like, she was especially, I think it's also harder now, and I think this is something you'll probably agree with me about, how she is acting the way on social media that our current social media climate and the way that our culture reacts to things cannot deal with. Like, we are so reactionary. Everyone wants to pinpoint someone as a bad person. Everyone wants to call you out. Everyone wants to say, check your privilege, which is important because it means we have important discussions about privilege and like underrepresented people in the media. And it's really good. However, she doesn't operate to those standards. Yeah. And like, she just doesn't. Like, I wanted to just read a quote that I found, like, when I read it and I just went, ugh, Lena Dunham. this is from the article. Her mum remains an active member of Time's Up. Dunham has decided to step back. My voice isn't needed, she says, simply. A sentence she might never have uttered before. She's still friends with Taylor Swift, which surprises even her. She has a new plan to go to parties, only if they have no more than 5 other people. She doesn't plan to quit Instagram, however, no matter how many people on the internet tell her to. I'm like, bitch, you should get 3 million followers, then delete your account.
She's, like, a bit, like... So, my viewpoint is a bit more sympathetic towards her.
She has been through a lot. Like, yeah. This piece details...
But she is, as much... I mean, I'm not, like, a super fan. I am more of a fan than Bridie. But it can be, like, watching a bit of a car crash when she says things. You're like, why? Why have you said that?
Yeah.
And obviously, she's done so many hypocritical things over the years, which this article kind of lists a bit. And so it can be a bit excruciating to watch, but I do think there was... Yeah, I mean, as you point out, there was no one doing what she was doing at the time that Girls came out. She was something completely new. And... I think also we've had a discussion before where we talk about the way that female friendships are presented Girls, and I liked that they were kind of presented warts and all, and that sometimes you like sometimes really get pissed off at people. Sometimes you are a really shit friend. Yeah, so I kind of like that. Like, it sort of got rid of any standards that you have to hold yourself up to. It was very like, meh, do whatever you want. And you were less enthralled by that negative
portrayal. Yes, I was. I felt that, again, there's so many people in the media presenting women as being bitchy and like against each other and pitting women against each other. I necessarily, even though it's warts and all, they were just mean. They weren't people that I wanted to be friends with. I know that was the point, but I'm just not in the business of consuming that kind of media. And that's completely fine.
Mm.
I think, like, where we are at now, I think, is completely different to where we were when Girls first premiered. And I really feel that we are more, you know, if you're going to exist in the culture in 2018, like, everything is on fire. Like, everything is terrible. Stuff is happening that people don't understand. I don't even really want to talk about like, the political climate, but we all know what's going on. So you have to push the boundaries and you have to let other people in and you have to use your platform to help in like incite change.
Mm.
And I don't think she is. And I don't think she has any plans to. From this piece, she just seems really stuck in her ways.
But you know, she does try to incite change in a lot of ways. It's just she goes about it in the wrong way a lot. Like, obviously, she does a lot. She posts a lot of stuff about body shape and like sharing all kinds of body types, and she did loads of stuff with Hillary Clinton, didn't she?
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, yeah, she goes about it in the wrong way a lot of times.
I think a lot of this piece, as well as her like accepting who she is and who she has been in the media and like the culture and what perspective she's put out for herself, and I don't think she's planning to change at all. For her to really have a heightened level of success like she used to, she has to catch up. She has to hold herself accountable. Mm. So I spoke about Lily Allen earlier, and one thing that in Lily Allen's memoir she talks about is when she released the video for Hard Out Here. Don't even you remember, but she was dancing and she had loads of black women around her twerking, and it was a bit like, you're the one white woman, these women are dancing for you. Body objectivity is a bit not okay. She responded quite like, at like, what you're talking about is ridiculous. Then on Twitter got basically like taken down. So in her book, she talks about going away and trying to hear from other people. She read about intersectionality. You know, she taught herself from what happened to her from being called out online and like all of those sorts of things, and being like, okay, fine, this is a learning curve for me. And in the book, she's like, I'm so much better for it. So thank you for people who call me out for, you know, my shit. Mm. And Lena Dunham's not going to do that.
It's like, what point are we at with her now?
That's basically where I feel like it is. Like, you know, what do I just honestly, reading it, I was like, I could have read this at any time about her, you know? And I think it's just...
Well, it's like we were saying, there's such peaks and troughs of her. And yeah, it's like, where are we now?
And it's like, also, do we still need to care about her? She isn't the kind of woman figurehead for, you know, like she was, or that sort of person who's like being at the threshold of like feminism and female creativity in the industry. If she's not the right person anymore, why do we need to read a very long piece? Like, it was really good. It was a really wonderful piece, but it's quite long, and it's, you know, reading it, it's just such an interesting, just an interesting take, and it just made me think a lot about where we were and who she was then and who she is now and how she seemingly hasn't changed, but everything around her has.
To pick up on a point that's not as relevant,
that's
you mentioned about how long a piece this was.
Yeah.
Can I just tip? I really like the, well, so Guardian long reads, we've like included them in a few of our roundups actually. Obviously really great journalism, really long. And sometimes you don't want to look at your laptop for that long. They do audio versions of the long reads on the Guardian like podcast platform. So I'd really recommend that. They don't do every single long read as an audio edition, but they pick select ones, I guess. And they're really good. It means that you can absorb like all of this information from the long read.
I definitely
in the audio format.
I definitely thought you were going to tell everyone to print everything out, but it's more eco-friendly.
Today,
so.
I've brought along a 10-page printout
it's
of
great.
The cut article,
really
including the adverts at the end.
Great.
Anyway,
great tip from Abby there. Thank you.
So that's been what's been going on online and offline.
So now we're going to talk about what you need to know about your collective. At Dear Damsels, we don't just run the website and read loads of pieces. We do so many other things, including publishing annuals, and we do events. So this is a space for us to talk about stuff that's coming up that we think is interesting to you. Hopefully by the time you read this, the Dear Damsels annual is on sale. Every year for the past 3 years that we've been running, we've done a print publication of some of our favourite pieces that we featured online. And this year's we're extremely excited about because it's got a couple of firsts for us. Yesterday, we actually announced pre-orders with a cover reveal, which is a wonderful illustration by an artist called Tink Outside the Box. You can find on Instagram at that handle. And we're just so excited about it. It's got so many
It's had great responses.
Things. Yeah, thank you so much for your wonderful responses. Me and Abby spend so long on these things that sometimes we think no one cares. Mm. And then we're like, oh, it's okay. It's fine.
it's nice to know
that people care.
And it's always a really nice moment for us to go back over the year on DD and like pick out our very favourite pieces. We can't include them all, but... like just remember how brilliant
how great they are,
people who write for us.
We always feel so lucky when we read stuff. We're just like, it's so good, like the process of trying to pull in the submissions and pick a couple, because we can't publish them all, we don't have the budget. So when we pull them in, we'll like have a real struggle to pick pieces that we can and can't have. But yeah, we just feel really privileged, really. And we've worked with some really great people on this. So we've got some original illustrations from members of the Bath Spa Illustration Society, which is just amazing. We've had some portraits again from our wonderful photographer, Libby Erland.
She's brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. We've also got some interviews in it from some wonderful gals who we've been kind enough to talk to us about what they're doing. But yeah, we're just really excited about it. So,
I think it's going to be the best one yet.
Oh, it truly is. You can find it on our big cartel link, which is on our website.
And it's out on the 10th of January.
If this is before the 10th of January.
Oh, no, wait, that's the point. Out now.
There you go.
Go buy it. What else is going on with us? We have an event coming up.
Yeah.
So this year we've done three events so far. So this will be our fourth event, and we're hosting a Galentine's evening event on the 15th of February.
Yeah.
As is traditionally celebrated for Galentine's. As we spoke about on this very podcast, we are so interested and invested in female friendships and in bringing our collective together to meet each other. So it just felt like the perfect moment to have an event. It's most likely going to have some brilliant speakers who are going to be reading their work. I think we're going to have a panel. It's going to be a really fun
night.
It's going
to be really fun. And we're putting like the first like ideas together now. So hopefully there'll be more information about it, we're sure, by the time we listen to this.
Yeah.
There will be, because we're just too busy.
We'll have a venue and everything.
Yeah.
yeah, so come along if you can.
Thank you for listening to Her Own Words. You can read all the pieces that we've mentioned on our website, www.deardamsels.com, and you can find us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Dear Damsels. Also, you can share your own words with us by subscribing to our mailing list and submitting for our next monthly theme.
You can also probably subscribe and rate this podcast. We haven't quite worked out the logistics at this time of recording, so we'll keep it vague on that front. But basically, if you could share this podcast far and wide, we would be so grateful. That is it. Thanks for listening, and goodbye, Bridie.
Goodbye, Abby.